And the fear of the Lord is strong confidence, and his children shall have a place of refuge. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life. To depart from it, the snares of death.
Good morning. Happy Sabbath. Good to see everybody here. This bright sunshine did come out today. It was a little bit cold this morning at 4:30, but it's warming up. We have warmth in our hearts. And on this beautiful Sabbath day, part of the Ten Commandments, we know that Jesus does love us, and the Bible tells us so. And that before the cross, they were under the law until the fullness of time came. Jesus dying on the cross. And after the cross, same thing. It's that we look back forward to it and see our dying Savior on the cross. And it shows us that we are now under the law, but we are justified by faith in Christ alone. And I just pray that each one of us can realize that in our lives daily, that we do that. We know that we do have the Sabbath. We have God's love. And God wants us to live according to his laws. And I pray that we do. God has his eyes on each one of us. He wants each one of us to have eternal life. And he showed it by sending his son here to die for us. And I pray that as we look at the read the words in the God's word, that we take it to heart and we live according to each one of those words. And so let us have a word of prayer as we start. Today, Father, we just want to praise and honor thy holy name, asking you for the guidance as your children that we so desperately need. May we truly walk in the newness of life through the sacrifice of your Savior, and that one day soon we will be able to see him face to face. Help us truly, Father, to be the example that you would like us to have in this life, so that we may be able to take our characters to heaven to spend eternity with our Savior. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Yes, today I'm going to talk about wisdom, which many times I don't really use. And I know that wisdom is there for me, but yet something gets in the way for me to use it the way that I should. But wisdom, knowledge and good judgment based on experience, being wise. And we can see about the wisdom because we read it in the Bible about King Solomon. If you would turn to 1 Kings chapter 3. 1 Kings chapter 3. And in verse 5. And Solomon loved the Lord, walking in the statutes of David his father, only he sacrificed and burnt. In Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God asked, "Ask what I shall give thee." And we look to verse 9, and we see Solomon's answer. Verse 9. Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this so great a people? And God's reply is in verses 11 and 12. Verses 11 and 12. And God said unto him, because thou hast asked this thing, and hast asked for thyself long life, neither hast thou asked riches for thyself, nor asked the life of thine enemies, but hast asked for thyself understanding, discern judgment. Behold, I have done according to thy words. Lo, I have given thee a wise and an understanding heart, so that there was none like thee before thee, and neither after thee shall any arise like unto thee. And as we continue to read the story of Solomon, we know that God gave him riches and much more. So how is a Christian to go through life? How are we supposed to go through life? as disciples of Jesus Christ. We can find out that in Ephesians 5, 15 through 17. Ephesians 5. Ephesians 5, 15 through 17. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Wherefore ye be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. We are to walk in wisdom as children of God. We are to conduct ourselves with wisdom. We know that too much time is lost by failing to exercise this wisdom that we can have each day. The Word of God claims to equip every man unto good works. It also provides for sound advice for daily living, if we would only take it. We know that we have the advice here in the written Word, but we have to live it. We have to accept it. And we know that the Book of Proverbs, written by Solomon, is a great source of wisdom and encouragement. It contains inspired wisdom for all of our relationships, whether it be family, whether it be friends, whether it be colleagues. We can benefit from this book as it serves as a valuable tool and a guide for every area of our daily living. And as we look at the Book of Proverbs, we wonder, what is the purpose of Proverbs? Let's turn to Proverbs now. We'll go some of the verses. I have quite a few verses, so I won't read them all today. But the purpose of the book of Proverbs. And that purpose is stated in the first six chapters of that book. To know wisdom and instruction. To perceive the words of understanding. And to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, and judgment equally. And so we know that we can find that in the Word of God if we will only read it. If we will only take this book and open it instead of letting it sit on our shelves. This book is designed to make us wise. To make us act accordingly and wisely. To make us act righteously. And to help us to treat others with fairness. Its aim is to give common sense to us all. Sound advice to the young. And wisdom to the wise. And we can find the definition and the value of wisdom through the book of Proverbs in the entire Bible as we read it. Wisdom is defined as a realistic approach to the problem of life. And we know that we do have a problem in life. And that is the evil that is in this life. And all the other things that goes along with it. It's been stated by a man named Homer Haley. Wisdom is insight into the underlying causes and significance or consequences of things, which insight enables one to apply to the best end the knowledge which he has. And it can be illustrated in this way. Your boss or your spouse or your brother in Christ yells at you. Each one of us treats it in a different way. But if we look at wisdom and use that as the insight, it will help us to make and decide the best thing to do. Wisdom helps a person to rethink and reset his ways the right way there. When this does happen, and I have to admit that there wasn't very many times that I used that approach in a right way with one of my bosses. In the first nine chapters of the book are discourses extolling the value of wisdom. The value and the virtue of wisdom is seen in the prosperous life that it can produce. And we know that each one of us can have a prosperous life no matter what happens in each one of our lives. Go to Proverbs chapter 3, verses 13 through 18. Chapter 3, 13 through 18. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. For the merchandise of this is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. They keep pushing on TV commercials. Almost every other commercial is a buy gold, buy gold. It's better than paper money. It's better than a dollar. But we know that in the very end, that gold is going to be worthless also. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things that thou desirest are not to be compared unto her. Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand riches and honor. Her ways are plenty, ways of plentiness, and all of her paths are peace. Wisdom also guards many of the pitfalls that falls us. You can read that in verses 21 through 26. Some of the pitfalls are evil companionship, which you can find in chapter 1, verses 10 through 19. Immorality, chapter 5, 1 through 14. And it gives total ruin. These things is total ruin in a person's life. Wisdom, as we read in the Bible, shows us a much better way. This book has value. Written by inspired people, by the Holy Spirit. And all we have to do is live by it to be able to have that wisdom. And wisdom is normally gained in two ways, one of two ways, through trial and error. This is the way that most people go through with it, if they can survive the errors that they have. Or through the experience of others. Looking to others, to heed the examples of others, that he or she can avoid the same pitfalls, the same disasters. And you have a clear advantage this way, by following this, is your experience of life unburdens you by the consequences of their mistakes, and your own mistakes. Because I know with all the mistakes that I have made, it is only the relationship through the Lord Jesus Christ gets me through each one. And the wisdom of others makes this book of Proverbs very valuable. Instead of wasting our time on earth here trying to discern wisdom through the process of trial and error, we need to turn to the book of Proverbs. We can find wisdom that is divinely inspired. And it's inspired by God, no other. It has been true down through the ages of each generation of righteous men and women who lived their lives by teachings found in this book. If we would only listen to what is written in the Word of God, and live accordingly. And this book provides wisdom from God Himself. It's not the wisdom of man, brother, because we know that our own wisdom will get us nothing but trouble. And if you would quickly turn to James chapter 1. James chapter 1. Verses 5 through 8. James 1, verses 5 through 8. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. God's promises and his wisdom will be granted to everyone that looks to true wisdom that comes from God. True wisdom recognizes a need for the fear of the Lord. That was mentioned in our Sabbath school lesson this morning, the fear of the Lord. And why should we fear the Lord? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, Proverbs 1:7. You can see that in 1:7. And unless we have the proper respect for God, we will not be receptive to the Lord of Lords, as we can read in the second part of verse 7. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. We know that the wisdom of God is valuable. It prolongs life. In Proverbs 10:27. Proverbs 10:27. Each one of these proverbs has two parts to it. The fear of the Lord prolongeth days. By keeping one away from evil, chapter 16, verse 6, and thus keeps one untouched by evil, chapter 19:23. I'm going to read that. You turn to that, chapter 19, verse 23. The fear of the Lord tendeth to life, and he that hath it shall abide satisfied. He shall not be visited with evil. What a privilege we have through Jesus Christ, not to be visited by evil. We can have that roadblock there before us if we truly trust in Jesus. The temptations will be there, but our adversary will not be able to get through that roadblock. It improves our quality of life by giving one a strong confidence. Chapter 14, verse 26. And again, the first part. In the fear of the Lord is strong confidence, by providing refuge. Second part. And his children shall have a place of refuge. The refuge that we may have in the Lord Jesus Christ living in this world. If we're not careful, we know that the world can gobble us up by making life an overflowing experience. Verse 27, the fear of the Lord is a fountain of life, and by helping us to avoid the pitfalls which could destroy us. The second part, to depart from the snares of death. The law of God condemns us to eternal death. But the faith in Jesus Christ gives us eternal life. The fear of the Lord gives us quality of life and quantity of days. And then true wisdom recognizes that some things are an abomination to God. Abomination is defined as something which is worthy or as causing loathing or hatred, something which is detestable, in other words. And we know that true wisdom shows us things that God hates with a loathing disgust, a proud look or pride, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, 15:26. Feet that run swiftly to evil, 15:9. A false witness who speaks lies, 17:15. One who sows discord among the brethren. False weights by which others are cheated, 11:1. And I know that by experience from the first job that I had working in a grocery store. Committing wickedness, chapter 16, verse 22. The fact, sacrifice or worship of the wicked, 15:8. And then if you would turn to chapter 28, verse 9. Chapter 28, verse 9. The prayers of those who ignore the laws of God. He that turneth his way his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer shall be an abomination. We know that we are to keep the Ten Commandments, the law of God. Always has been in place and always will be in place throughout eternity. But yet we know that we will not be under the law because of the saving sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ. Understanding that God detests and loathes these things, we as Christians need to walk in wisdom and try certainly to avoid them. And true wisdom recognizes that our relationship with God is affected by our relationship with others. Proverbs 21:3. The poor and the needy, how we treat them reflects how we treat God. Chapter 14:31. If we make fun at their plight, beware. 17:5. The Lord will bless those who are gracious to the poor. 19:17. The Lord will punish those who rob the poor. Verse 22, or chapter 22, verses 22 and 23. Widows and the fatherless. God is concerned for widows. 15:25. He will redeem the fatherless who are abused. And we see this happening so much in today's society. Chapter 23. Chapter 23, verses 10 and 11. Remove not the old landmark and not enter into the fields of the fatherless, for the Redeemer is mighty. He shall plead their cause with thee. And then there are our enemies. And yes, we do have enemies, each one of us. In the very near future, as this world continues to grow to the end, we know that our enemies will come after us, to even wanting to kill us. But we know that that is when the Lord Jesus Christ will stand up and say it is finished, and come to collect his people. That I pray that each one of us will be able to be collected, that we will meet on a sea of glass, or that we will meet in heaven in a very near future. The Lord is not pleased when we rejoice over the defeat of our enemies. And many times we do that also. So what wisdom can we glean from the Proverbs? Simply that if we fear the Lord and do what pleases him, if we avoid the things that God hates, if we trust others with righteousness and justice, our relationship with God will be on a solid foundation. We all need to be motivated by the study of the book of Proverbs to glean its treasures of wisdom. Without Christ in our lives, we know that there is no way for us truly to be wise. We need Christ in our lives every moment of our days. We need to help others to come to the realization that they also know Jesus Christ. And we know that nothing that we can say will change people's minds or turn them to God. But if we do our part, we know that the Holy Spirit will be able to do his part in bringing others to Jesus Christ. That is our role, to be representatives of the Lord Jesus Christ on this earth. In Proverbs, to end with Proverbs 16, verse 20, he that handleth a matter wisely shall find good, and whosoever trusteth in the Lord, happy is he. So I pray that we all are happy this Sabbath, that we give God all the glory, because we have no glory in of ourselves. Let us close with hymn number 341. To God be the glory. Our gracious Heavenly Father, yes, your glory. Shown, Father, in your great love for us by sending your Son to this sin-cursed earth, paying a price for us, becoming our example and our substitute. Oh, Father, we thank thee that we will be learning this plan throughout eternity. And as we grow in stature and into the image that was marred by disobedience, we pray, Father, for that blessing now here upon this earth as we are waiting for that great city that Abraham was looking for and knowing very soon that we will be in it. Thank you, Father, for that assurance through your word that we can trust thee. In Jesus' precious name, amen.